Hello folks, my name is Arya and I welcome you all to this live session. Today we are going to talk about one of the most commonly used tools by ethical hackers and pen testers for a wide range of activity. It runs on a variety of systems, for example Windows, Linux, Solaris, and this tool that I'm talking about goes by the name of Netcat. Now before we dig deeper into the uses of Netcat, please note that this session is only for educational purposes and I personally do not encourage any sort of illegal activity using this tool or any other tool for that matter. Now let me take a quick moment to actually list out the topics that I'm going to cover today. So firstly, we're going to see what is Netcat, then we're going to see the modes Netcat runs on, then we're going to see the general Netcat commands that are going to be used throughout our demonstration too. In the end, we are going to see the general use cases of Netcat. Okay, so what exactly is Netcat? Like so many hacker tools, was created to be a network analysis tool. Netcat, like so many other hacker tools, was created to be a network analysis tool. It was developed by a fellow known as the Hobbit on the forums, and he gave away this tool to the IT community without compensation. Now, Netcat was built to open up TCP and UDP connections between two machines over any port your heart desires. But after the community started putting a collective effort into the tool, new features like port scanning were introduced. Today, it can be used for port forwarding, file transfer, remote administration, and even setting up an open backdoor. Netcat has been widely considered to be the Swiss Army knife of information security. Now, an important feature of Netcat is that it can serve both as a client and as a server. We'll talk about this just in a moment. Now, Netcat is also designed as a dependable backend device that can be used directly or easily driven by other programs and scripts. Also, it's a treat to work on for network administrators, programmers, and pen testers because it's a feature-rich network debugging and investigation tool. In 2000, Netcat was also voted the second most functional network security tool, and in 2003 and 2006, it gained fourth place in the same category. Now, that was a lot about Netcat and its history. Now, let's discuss the modes Netcat works in. So, Netcat basically has two modes that it runs in. We'll see how both these modes are being implemented when we are going through the demonstration. Now, firstly, we have a client mode. The client always initiates the connection with the listener, and all the errors in a client mode are put into the standard error queue. Now, in client mode, it is required to give the IP address and the port of the listener. So basically, the machine that initiates the connection to the listening device is the client device, and the machine that we are listening on is basically going to run on the listener mode. So in this mode, the listener always listens for the connection on a specific port number that we have specified. Now its output can be in any standard output format too. Okay, so now that we know the modes that Netcat works in, it's only obvious that we are going to go through the Netcat commands. Now one thing I forgot to mention is that Netcat only has a command line interface. So most of the options and configurations is done through the command line on Windows and the Bash terminal on Linux. Now every terminal on different OSs generally have a different syntax, but what you see in this blue box on your screen is the most common Netcat syntax. So it goes as follows. Firstly, we go NC, then the options that we are going to target, then the target IP address, and then we input the port number that we are going to run on. Now this is only for Windows. On Linux, you just have to replace the NC that you see with Netcat. Now, Netcat has a wide variety of options to choose from when running a specific command, and these options are represented on the command line with letters, and these are called flags. So now let's discuss the most used flags that are generally used in Netcat. So firstly, we have the -L flag, which is an option that tells Netcat to be in the listening mode. So basically, if you put -L, your command is basically to listen on some port. Then you have the U port, which is basically to shift Netcat from TCP mode to UDP mode. Then we also have the -P flag, which is used to set the port that we are going to listen on. Then is the -E flag, which is one of the most important flags. Now this tells us what operation to perform after a successful connection, which is basically setting up the payload. Then we also have a capital L flag, which makes the listener a persistent listener. Then we also have the WN flag. This option defines the timeout value for Netcat. So for example, W indicates to wait for 5 seconds before any timeout. And last but not the least, we have the hyphen V flag. Now this is the verbose mode. So verbose meaning that it will give a very detailed output of whatever you're wanting. We will see what all these mean in a much better way when we're actually going through the demonstration. So just sit tight for that. Okay, now that we have a clear idea of Netcat syntax, let's focus on the main subject of this session, that is the use cases of Netcat. So the first use case of Netcat is data transfer. Netcat is a great tool to send files over the network from one machine to another. In my demonstration, which we will get to in a minute, you will see that I am running two machines. Firstly, I have a Windows 10 installed on my laptop, and on VM, I'm running Ubuntu. Now, both are connected via a network bridge, so they are part of my internal, and we can use this to create a simple server and use that to transfer any sort of file. Netcat works with both TCP and UDP, and data transfers can be done in two ways basically. The first way is pulling a file from a listener from a client. In this type of transfer, the file is actually pulled from a listener. Now, the second type is pushing a file to a listener from a client. This includes basically pushing a file to the listener from the client. Now the next most popular use of connection is established. On Linux, these backdoors can be made persistent, which means even after the current user logged out, the backdoor will keep running in background, and this can be achieved with the usage of the hyphen capital L flag, which makes us a persistent listener. So first, the whole code can be dumped into a file, and then the permissions will be changed to readable and writable formats so that it can be executed as a script. Next, Netcat is a very nifty tool for setting up reverse shell and even remote administrative connections. So getting a reverse shell or remote shell is one of the key goals in setting in offensive security. First, it's important to understand the difference between a remote shell and a reverse shell. So basically, a remote shell, or commonly known as bind shell, is when you are binding a shell to a local port on one machine, and another machine connects to that port to remotely use the shell. On the other hand, a reverse shell is when you tell the shell to connect back to your machine, which is listening for a connection ready for exploitation. Now, choosing which one to use is dependent completely on the network. To give a much simpler analogy, suppose there's this guy called Dennis and he has a computer connected to the internet but within a NAT network. And then there's Sophie, who is directly connected to the internet. Now Sophie's computer is directly accessible from the internet, but Dennis's system is not, because it's basically behind a NAT. Now if Dennis needs a shell on Sophie's computer, he can use a remote shell. He simply tries to connect with Sophie's system via Netcat while Sophie starts listening for a connection. Now once connected, she can bind her shell to connections, and the remote shell is established, and Dennis can execute commands via the shell. But it's important to understand that if Sophie wants a shell on Dennis's computer, she cannot connect to this computer as his system is not publicly available because it's behind a NAT. To overcome this, Dennis would need to bind his shell from his side to the network via Netcat and connect to Sophie, while Sophie should just start listening for incoming connections. Once connected, Sophie would have access to Dennis's shell and can execute commands as well. So basically, a bind shell is you connecting from your machine to the shell, and a reverse shell is when the shell is connecting to a listening service on your machine. And now that brings us to the last use case of Netcat that is very popular, and that is setting up of relays. So Netcat can be configured to set up relays, which is basically you would bounce an attack from one machine to another and make a chain. Now Netcat relays can be created by several ways. Now let's discuss the most two popular ways. So firstly, on Windows, you can create a batch process with your desired content and basically save it as a batch file, which is basically the .bat extension that you see. Then the batch file can be just very simply executed with the hyphen E flag after connection has been successfully established. This will be very clear when we get to the demonstration. Now on Linux or Unix, relays are invoked using a special type of file called FIFO. Now this FIFO type file helps in creating and moving data back and forth on the command line. Okay, so I guess now it's time you all have been waiting, probably waiting for, which is the demonstration of Netcat. Now, I've already made you aware that Netcat has a plethora of uses, and due to time restrictions, I can't really show all of them. So I'll basically show the most common uses like chatting, file transfer, and remote administration. They'll be simplistic use cases, but they can be used with other scripts to perform a series of actions, and I'll leave that bit to your imagination and creativity, because that's what networking is all about in the end. It's all about how you creatively use a network for your own good. That brings us to the end of our session for today. Now, I hope you guys had a lot of fun learning about Netcat and its basic uses. So until next time, goodbye.